WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, presents Lehigh Valley Discourse. Provocative, informative, and newsworthy, Lehigh Valley Discourse brings you the people and the issues that move and shape our region, here on WDIY.
Good evening, Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon. I am your host this evening for a program where we're going to be talking about sustainability and climate change, one city's effort. I felt that this was a very appropriate topic. You know, Earth Day appears in April every year. In fact, this is the 51st year for that. But I wanted to have a program that really focused us on our Earth and healing it. So I want to talk about two terms specifically that we hear all the time, give a little definition, and then I'll introduce my guests. Sustainability, on a very basic level, is understanding the impact that we have on the earth and what we leave for future generations. And it can encompass a number of things, from recycling to gardening, being resourceful with products and the items that we use. So that's sustainability. Climate change is caused by a global increase in temperatures, and the most recognizable that we hear all the time is greenhouse gases. And the largest source of greenhouse gas emissions is from human activities, such as burning fossil fuels for electricity, heat, and transportation. What I want us to remember and realize is that we're also interrelated these days. It's not just what's happening in the Lehigh Valley, but all over the world, including all the species, all the plants, the animals, and humans. If you recall, 10 years ago, there was a nuclear reaction in Japan and debris washed up on the California shores. We are all in this together, and we can no longer think in isolation. So what can one city do? It's on that question that I invited Dr. Kate Simmons, Science Director of Nurture Nature Center, and Rachel Hogan Carr, who's the Executive Director of Nurture Nature Center, to talk about, because they have been leading the charge in the city of Easton. So welcome, Kate. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I'm glad to have you both here. And what we'd like to do is, Rachel, could you give a little bit of your background, and then Kate, I'm going to ask you to give our listeners a little bit of your background so they know who is speaking to them.
My name is Rachel Hogan Carr. I am Executive Director of Nurture Nature Center and a lifelong Easton resident, and had the good fortune to be involved in the founding of Nurture Nature Center when it began back in 2007 after the floods of 2004, 5, and 6. And before that, worked as a community organizer and newspaper reporter, and so have always been involved in the community and community development issues and environmental issues as well.
Yeah, I didn't know that about your background, Rachel. I wasn't aware that you had been a lifelong resident. So thank you for all your commitment to our community and our environment.
Absolutely. My degrees here come from Arabian College and Lehigh University, so I kept it local all the way through.
You stayed local. Terrific, terrific. And Kate, a little bit about your background, please.
Sure. So I got my PhD also at Lehigh University in Earth and Environmental Sciences, and then had gotten my bachelor's in Environmental Studies at Ursinus College, not too far away, in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. And after that, I did a postdoc with the USDA, and then I was fortunate enough to find the Nurture Nature Center and join the team as science director in 2014, and have been there ever since, and have really enjoyed working on a variety of issues related to environmental sciences and science communication and education.
Terrific. What I'm going to ask next is, Rachel, if you wouldn't mind, could you please share the history? You said after the floods in Easton 2004, 2005, 2006 is when Nurture Nature Center sort of came and rose out of the ashes, so to speak. Can you give us some background on the center? I'm not sure that everyone in the Valley is aware of what all you do there.
Listeners who were there then will certainly remember the major flooding that happened in the Lehigh Valley in 2004, 5, and 6, and downtown Easton got hit particularly hard. and Nurture Nature Foundation, which is a New York-based nonprofit that was renovating the old Hotel Easton into what is now the lovely Grand Estonian Hotel and Suites, found that its property was in the middle of that flooded territory. And I had been working on the restoration of that project at the time. And the founder, Theodore Keel, was a visionary man who was the head of an environmentally named nonprofit, Nurture Nature, and wanted to know what he could do to help future people living in the Delaware River Basin to not be caught by surprise by flooding quite the way we were. So even though the property we were working on was right near the river and that area had flooded before, it had been a long time and kind of memory fell short. And Nurture Nature Center was the ultimate outgrowth of that, although we didn't know at the time when we began investigating the flooding issue that we would form this tremendous center. But ultimately, in 2007, we incorporated this nonprofit for the purpose of flood education, and in 2011 opened the building and the visitors facility that many now know at 518 Northampton Street as the home of Nurture Nature Center, where visitors can come and have education and community engagement and dialogue and arts programming on a wide range of environmental issues. So if you come to Nurture Nature Center now, you'll certainly can learn about flooding, but you'll get a wide range of environmental issues with neat exhibits, including Science on a Sphere from NOAA's Office of Education installed, and art galleries and arts workshops and community dialogue events. So now it's a very diverse range of topics that we cover starting from that initial event.
Okay. And Rachel, with the pandemic and schools closed and everything, you know, having a unique schedule this year, if our listeners would like to come over, what is your schedule like? Do they just go on the online on your website and check it out, or how would you prefer?
Yes, I would encourage them to start following us on our website and our social media through Instagram and Facebook and Twitter alike to look for news of our reopening. We did close our physical doors. We've done a ton of outreach programming and, you know, consulting work over the course of the past year and have reached possibly even more people, but our doors have remained closed for safety purposes during the pandemic. But we are starting to put some dates on the calendar to have some public-facing events soon, and so people should look to our website and Facebook for a formal announcement soon.
Terrific. Rachel, thank you so much, and thank you for all that work. As we know, we have a real gem here in the Lehigh Valley with our open space and green space and quality of life, and certainly by educating folks as to what impacts that and how to preserve it through organizations like yours, hopefully we'll save it for the future, make it sustainable. So thank you. I'm going to turn over the question now to Kate, because in doing research for this show, I mean, and the title again is Sustainability and Climate Change, One City's Effort. When I looked in the Lehigh Valley, I saw that there were two cities that have adopted a climate action plan, Easton and Bethlehem, and that there are probably about 10,000 cities across the country that signed a petition regarding that. Kate, tell me about this effort. What does it mean signing the petition, and what is Easton's intent in signing it? What does it mean that they're going to do?
Certainly. So it's called the Global Covenant of Mayors, and it's basically this agreement that you are going to work towards reducing your greenhouse gas emissions. And those greenhouse gas emissions are what contribute to climate change. So it's reducing the emissions problem, knowing our climate change impacts, that we're trying to make sure to minimize those as much as possible as part of the process. It's a multi-year process. You have to do a vulnerability assessment, greenhouse gas, where you are in terms of how much you're emitting, and then a climate action plan. And we're currently working with the City of Easton to develop that climate action plan this spring and hopefully have that towards the summer. And then Bethlehem is just in the process of finishing up their climate action plan. They worked with consultant WSP to do this the past year with their community engagement and outreach on that project. So both cities are really moving forward and taking the lead. The City of Easton is actually participating in a statewide program that's put forward through the Pennsylvania DEP, the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, called the Local Climate Action Plan. And it is a great program that is engaging over 40 different municipalities across the state to help them develop a greenhouse gas inventory and climate action plan. And so that's what we're participating in right now.
When I did my research, there's certain percentages that Pennsylvania has laid out. Does that mean, since you're participating, that you're going to be looking to do a 26% reduction in greenhouse gases by 2025 or 80% by 2050?
Yes. So the city of Easton has actually already adopted an emissions reduction target for 80% by 2050, and that's in line with the state goal as well. Now, the city of Bethlehem is looking to adopt a net zero by 2040. So the science-based targets are to get to net zero the next several decades. And so we aren't sure yet if Easton will revise its goal or keep with the one that's already been adopted.
I'm going to ask you a question that's very basic. Net zero, what does that mean?
So net zero means that the amount that you are emitting is basically either reduced or offset so that you kind of break even in order to make that balance be zero. You can also do things like purchase carbon credits or generate renewable energy through solar panels or wind energy in order to get to that point.
Thank you. We're going to be taking a short break right now. Listeners, please stay with us. We are talking with Dr. Kate Simmons, Science Director, and Rachel Hogan Carr, Executive Director of Nurture Nature Center this evening. This is Sally Hanlon for WDIY's Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Galactic Travels brings you hour-long soundscapes of electronic, ambient, and space music. That's Thursday night at 11, right here on WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening with our guests, Dr. Kate Simmons, Science Director, and Rachel Hogan Carr, who's the Executive Director of Nurture Nature Center in Easton. We are talking about sustainability and climate change and what one city is doing, that's the city of Easton. And Nurture Nature Center has taken a leadership role in this climate action plan for Easton. Kate, can you just share what your involvement entails, sort of the timeline? I mean, you did mention that you're trying to wrap things up this year, maybe a little bit about the survey that you're having citizens take.
Sure. So we formed a stakeholder working group in February and held a meeting with them and got some feedback from them. And then we had a public survey that we had open through March until about March 19th. And we are looking at those results now and developing the draft of the climate action plan. And then we will be holding a public meeting, it will be virtual, on Tuesday, May 25th from 7 to 8 p.m. And everyone who lives or works or visits Easton is welcome to join. And we'll be reviewing the Climate Action Plan draft and getting more feedback on that before we try to finalize the draft in around June, July.
Rachel, I'm going to ask you, obviously this effort to take a leadership role in the Climate Action Plan has enabled you to gain and join forces with other organizations in the Easton area. Could you explain a little bit who else is involved and how everybody's contributing?
Sure. You know, climate action planning, by definition, really involves a whole community approach. So the city leadership in agreeing to participate is, of course, one of the critical components. And in Easton's Environmental Advisory Council as well has been a very active partner in trying to help a large stakeholder advisory team that is contributing. And we have gotten good cooperation as well from a Muhlenberg student who has been kind of Kate's assistant and right hand in doing a lot of the data gathering part of this. And as well, the state program has been a really critical component in providing the technical assistance to municipalities like Easton who may not otherwise, especially now, have the extra resources that are available to budget for these long-term but yet very important issues for community planning purposes. And as always, we have been really pleased with the level of commitment from Easton residents and Easton organizations in helping to spread the word so that if we post news of something related to the Climate Action Plan, it's quickly shared widely by residents and, you know, community organizations and neighborhood Facebook pages and places like that that really care about the role that Easton takes in leadership on these issues.
You know, that's something that is always sort of amazing. People get overwhelmed a little bit thinking that, you know, what can they do? This issue is bigger than me. It's bigger than my household. It's bigger than my neighborhood. And I think what you're doing in providing sort of that leadership of pulling everybody together is helping people understand that individual effort makes a difference. Correct, Kate?
Yes, that's correct. It's everybody can help with this issue. It may seem daunting and too big to make any headway with, but really all of our individual actions can add up and make a big difference.
What are some of the individual actions that you've seen or you've researched that we can do to help make sure that climate change is minimized, that, you know, greenhouse gases are minimized, and, you know, obviously sort of affordable options too, because we can't all put solar systems on our roofs.
Right. So there's lots of things that we can do. And the really great thing is that many of these actions have co-benefits, meaning that they will have additional benefits that are beyond just helping with climate change. So for instance, one is if you're going somewhere, do you really need to use the car? Could you bike or walk? And then in biking and walking, you're helping your physical health, you're getting outdoors, you're getting fresh air. So there's all different benefits that you can get from that just one behavior change. Another is eating more of a plant-based diet. So beef and dairy are really high contributors to greenhouse gas emissions. And so the more that you can reduce your consumption of those products, the more that you're helping reduce emissions that contribute to climate change. And this could be as simple as just taking Mondays that you don't eat meat or beef. And so that's another really relatively small change that can have a big impact. And it also benefits your health tremendously. Another thing, really simple stuff that we learned in school, turn off the lights. If you can reduce the amount of energy you're actually using, that helps and it also saves you money. You can look at ways, if you're a homeowner, to make your property more green. So planting trees, which is relatively low cost. If you plant them in certain locations around your house, you can also reduce energy by blocking the sun in summer and blocking the wind in winter. So that really helps. And then, you know, adjusting your thermostat in the summer, you might need to put it more to the high side and just dress in shorts and t-shirts. And in the winter, you can lower it and just dress in sweaters. And all these things are going to be saving you money too. So those are just a few of the very small things that you can do to help.
Terrific. And they're all good tips. I mean, I know your thought about reducing greenhouse gases through, you know, less dairy, less beef, for instance. It's also so much better for our health to not necessarily have all of that meat in our system as well. So yes, the co-benefits are incredible. And the more that we can let people know about the co-benefits, I think it's the easier for them to be able to step up and employ them. I'm going to ask both of you, but I'm going to start first with Kate. If a listener would like to learn more about the Climate Change Project, how do they go about if they want to get beyond just their individual contribution to reducing climate change prospects? What's available? Who do they contact? How do they go about it?
Yes. So we, as Rachel mentioned, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Nurture Nature Center, and we will be posting updates. You are able to find our events. That public meeting on May 25th that I mentioned is on there. We also have a website at nurturenaturecenter.org, and there is a page dedicated to this effort plan that has a ton of information, and you can get more involved, more information from there. In addition, we will be posting if you can't attend the meeting, we'll be posting a recording of that on the website. And you can reach out to us directly if you don't have internet access, if you want to talk to us. Our number is 610-253-4432. And you can also email us, and you can find our email on our website.
Terrific, Kate. Thank you. Rachel, looking forward in opening the doors of Nurture Nature Center in the future, are you planning any sort of new paths? Are you reemphasizing some of the existing things that have been done this past year as you look at the scope of programming that you're doing?
What has happened during COVID is a reflection, I think, on part of all of the staff and perhaps all of the community, that one of the great assets of Nurture Nature Center was how it built community as it was giving education to people at the same time. And so our programming efforts throughout the past year have really focused on how do we do activities, even virtually, that are connecting each other around these ideas of readiness and community preparedness. And we're going to be continuing activities like that. Our first initial programming that we're going to do to start integrating with the community, again, are some outdoor activities. We're scheduling some walk and talks in outdoor places, some community preparedness activities that will allow people to come and get some readiness kits out in places. We're going to be having a rain barrel workshop coming up that is already, I think, really packed and filled. And I think we're seeing that people are really eager to collectively, even if they're not close to one another, they're eager to collectively be working on improving the environment together. We will be restarting our programs for youth in the summer. We have a really popular Create and Learn series, so we're in the process of, we've just begun advertising that as well, and hopefully we'll be able to pull that off in person, but we're gearing up for being able to adapt that programming as needed to meet the community needs then. So I think we'll find a slow return to the great things that people love with Nurture Nature Center and find us out in public a lot more often soon.
And just to clarify, if you wouldn't mind, Rachel, if I'm a listener and I'm in Allentown, I can still participate. I can still, when you're open up, I can still come over to the center, correct? It's not just in Easton or Northampton
certainly.
County.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely. And we get visitors from far and wide. Our programming deals with a range of issues that are relevant locally and globally. Our Science on a Sphere exhibit is a global exhibit, in fact, that shows global perspectives on Earth and space. And issues. So, yes, absolutely. Visitors from far and wide will really appreciate our programming.
Terrific. Kate, Rachel, we're about to wrap up. I want to thank you both for taking the time to speak with me and let our listeners learn more about the Nurture Nature Center and the program that Easton is doing regarding climate change and how involved they are. So Kate, who is the science director, and Rachel Hogan Carr, who is the executive director, thank you so much for participating in our program this evening.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Sure. And I would also like to thank James Johnson, who's our news and information director, for helping to run the board and sort of keep us all on track. And listeners, I want to thank you for taking the time to be a part of this conversation on Lehigh Valley Discourse, WDIY, 88.1 FM. This is Sally Hanlon.